I'll turn to the Word of God, to the book of Genesis. Genesis and chapter 19. And as you're finding the place, I have to ask Grace a question. What was the number I gave you, sent to you for the last hymn? 515. Okay. I made a mistake whenever I give the folks here the numbers for the hymn. That's not unusual. That does happen. So we'll be singing. Yeah, 515 at the end. Alright, so Genesis chapter 19. Let me remind you that these evenings we're thinking about this little word, but. And we have thought about different places where it is used and the impact that it makes. Now this evening in the reading, there's not just one but that we want to consider, but two. So you can look out for them as we read it. And this is one of the most solemn and serious portions and all of the Word of God, and it's Genesis 19 in the account of what took place at Sodom. So we're going to read from the first verse, and we'll read down to verse 26. So, let's read this together, the Word of God. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground, and he said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. And of course they didn't want to know their name. Didn't just want to know where they came from. They wanted to know them in a wicked sexual way. And so we read verse 6. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him. And said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold now, I have two daughters, which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do you to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, Stand back. And they said again, This one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And I pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them, and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. The men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides, son-in-law, thy sons, and thy daughters? Whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out, and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. When the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. It came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, Oh, not so, my Lord. Behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight. Thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold now, this city is near to flee unto, and is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into the Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Two buts this evening. There's one that is there, and you'll find it in verse 14, and it is the but of anguish. But he seemed unto as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And then there's the but of hardness. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Now, whenever we consider these things, I want us to think, first of all, that here in this portion, we have a doomed city. And there is Sodom, and it's sitting there in the plain alongside the sister town, Gomorrah. And God's judgment is about to fall upon it. It is a doomed city. And we need to ask the question, what is the reason for this? And the reason could be put in one simple word. It's sin. And it's gross sin. And as you read through the scriptures, you find that it says much regarding the sin of Sodom. I referenced this last Lord's Day evening that you find in the book of Ezekiel, that it speaks about the sins of Sodom. Let me read to you from chapter 16 of Ezekiel. And this is what the Lord says. As I live, saith the Lord God, Sodom thy sister hath not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done, thou and thy daughters. And he's talking about Jerusalem. And at this stage he's saying, you're like a sister to Sodom. There's so much corruption in you. And then he goes on, behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride. Fullness of bread. This evening upstairs before the prayer, we were talking about things and people were commenting that here in this land, we're better off than we've ever been. That is the simple truth. This is how it was with Sodom. They had an abundance of bread and an abundance of idleness. Lazy people too, sinful in their daily laziness. Idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. They were so selfish and they were haughty. And here you see is the pattern of their sin. And they had a whole pattern of sinful life. But then you come and you see the depth that their sin plunged to. And it says this. And committed abomination before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw good. They committed all of those sins. That was their pattern. But there was also this depth of sin they plunged. The worst of sins. And what was this dread sin? Well, whenever we come to the book of Jude, we read these words in the New Testament, the verse 7. It says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the like cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, that is sexual immorality, and going after strange flesh. That's the nature of the sexual immorality. Going after strange flesh. Doing that which was unnatural. It's talking about homosexuality and lesbianism and so on. And he says they're set forth an example of suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. You see, here was the reason for it. This sin, this dreadful pattern of sin and the depths of sin then that they plunged, they sort of crossed the line. But what added to this, it was what it tells us there in the book of Genesis 19. And it says, verse 13, we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord. And it was blatant and brazen before the very face of the Lord. And the sin was rising like a cry, like a great shout in the face of God until it could no longer be tolerated. And I want you to realize that there was justice in this. God had been so patient, as I pointed out last week, as we were considering some things about Noah, Lot rather. And for years, God had put up with their sin. And after all those years, as God is going to deal with this city, And he's made it known unto Abram in the previous chapter. Abram is praying and praying. If there's 50 righteous, if there's 40 righteous, at last he gets down and he says, if there's 10 righteous, will you spare the city? And God says, if there's 10. And yet there were not even 10 righteous in that city after all those years. They were all utterly consumed with their sin. And we'll discover there was only one righteous man in it. And Sodom got what Sodom deserved. We need to realize that. And as we do realize that, we need to think about the example that is set by Sodom. Did you notice what I read to you there at the end of that verse in Jude? It says that they give themselves to fornication, going after strange flesh. Now listen, and are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. And you see, there's a day coming when eternal fire is going to fall upon this world in an act of God's divine judgment. And God points us to Sodom and Gomorrah and he says, look, see what I did. There is the example of it. I am a just God, a merciful God. But sin must be dealt with. And there is the fire that is to come. And think also then of the surpassing of Sodom. And you would say, what? Could Sodom's sin be surpassed? Could it be outdone in any degree? Well, listen to what we read with regard to the Lord Jesus, whenever we find him there in Matthew in chapter 11, as he is preaching and teaching the people, and he will come to the point where he will come to speak about that great city Capernaum. And he says this, thou Capernaum which are exalted unto heaven shall be brought down to hell. Now listen, for the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. And what was it that heightened the sin of Capernaum above even that of Sodom? It was this, the light that they had received. The very Son of God had come and made himself known and walked in their midst and did wonderful things. And he says, listen, it will be more tolerable for Sodom in the day of judgment than you. This is something we do not fully understand. But Jesus taught clearly that there are degrees of punishment in hell. While hell will have the same duration for everyone, we don't understand it, but will have different degrees of intensity for people depending on their sin and especially how they have treated the light that they have received. And if that was true of Capernaum, I say this is true of the United Kingdom. Because we have known so much of God's favour. We have had so much light. And this nation has willfully, deliberately cast it from them. And if they could, they would wipe out the Bible. And they're plunging into the very sins of Sodom. But they're doing against such tremendous light that they have received. And I tell you, it will be worse for the United Kingdom in the day of judgment than it was for Sodom. And this is a serious, serious thing. And so we think about a doomed city. But in this doomed city, what do you find? You find that there's a pleading father. And here is this man, Lot. He's not what he should have been. That is true. But the word of God, 2 Peter chapter 2 tells us he was a just man. He was a righteous man. And here the angels have come to the house and they have given him this warning. And they say to him now, have you here any besides who you've got in this house, son-in-law, sons, daughters? Whatever you have, then bring them out of the city. And so he goes out as a preacher. A preacher to who? To those of his own family. And he searches out his sons-in-law. Now that could mean either those who are engaged, as we would put it, betrothed to his two daughters, because in that culture it would have been classed as a marriage. Or it may be that they were the husbands of other daughters that he had, and of course he goes to them as the head of the house, as he would have done. And what does he do? What is his message? He doesn't come to them and say to them, oh, sons-in-law and daughters, listen, There's this message I have for you. If you will just come with me now, and we will come and leave this city, and if you come, we will know a much, much better life, and we will know great peace, and all, we will have joy that's beyond anything that we have known here. Let's just come with me. No, no, no. He didn't say that to them. He didn't say, oh, if you come with me now and you follow what has been said, then you will know prosperity beyond what you've known here in Sodom. And things will be so much better. No, no. That was not what he said. He came to them and he just told them the blatant truth. He says, listen. Up. Get you out of this place. For the Lord will destroy this city. And he had it burned into his heart that this was true. This place was going to be destroyed. And all for preachers in these days who would have it burned into their conscience and every fibre of their being that what God says is true, judgment is coming, fire is going to fall. And you know, it's sad whenever people in a mocking tone talk about hell, fire, preachers. Listen, what did Jesus preach about? Do you realise this? That Jesus talked more often and more explicitly about hell than he did about heaven? Did you realise that? And he spoke of hell being a place where the fire is not quenched. And he said to people, do not fear those who can kill the body, but fear him who can survive body and soul in hell. You see, this man had this burned into his conscience, and he went to his family with this message. And can you detect the urgency in this? And he says there that he went and he said to them, up, get you out of this place. There's a tremendous urgency. I cannot believe that he did it with anything other than tears in his eyes. He believed what God had said. We must get out of this place. And he comes with pathos in his tone. And it's urgent. You must leave this place. As it tells us in the Word of God, we're to flee from the wrath to come. It's all very well going to tell people, come to Jesus and your life will improve. Come to Jesus and things will be so much better. Come to Jesus and you'll be happier. That is not the big issue. The big issue, come to Jesus or you'll be burnt in hell. That is the big issue. And so he comes with this tremendous urgency. And I can just see this man. His heart's breaking. And he's pleading with them, come with me. Come with me. And what is the response? Tells us, but he seemed as one that mocked on his sons-in-law. How sad it is whenever sinners are pleaded with, even with tears in the eyes, that they would turn from their sin and flee from their wrath to come. And it's just as if, well, mock it. They ridicule it. They laugh at it. Oh, you don't believe that nonsense, do you? You hear that all the time, you know. Nothing new. And here is this man. Yes, he was a flawed man. He had made mistakes. And perhaps that weakened his testimony before his family, but still he is there with tremendous urgency and pleading with them, and yet they will not listen, they will not heed. I wonder if there's somebody here in this meeting tonight, and your parents have spoken to you, even pleaded with you, that you might indeed look to Jesus and be saved, and yet you just will not listen. You even might scoff at it, mock at it behind their backs. See, there was a pleading father. But then thirdly, must move on, there was a hardened woman. And oh, how hard this woman was. And it tells us this, that as they're led out of this city, what does Lot's wife do? Verse 26. But his wife looked back from behind him. She became a pillar of salt. I want you to think about this woman and think of her privileges. What privileges did she have above everybody else in Sodom? Number one, she had a saved husband. even with all his flaws. He was a righteous man. He was a just man. And he vexed his righteous soul daily in Sodom at the wicked, filthy lifestyles of the people around him. And I cannot believe that he would never have opened his heart to his wife in that vexation and spoken something to her with regard to this. And this chimes in wonderfully with our consecutive reading. There, it wasn't pre-planned. The Spirit of God has worked this out. That there, that woman, she was different from every other woman in Sodom. She had a saved husband. Listen, to have somebody in your family that is saved is an incredible privilege. And you that are saved, never forget that. If you're saved and living before them and praying for them, you're making them different from everybody else around them. You're a privilege to have within the family. And don't fail in the privilege. But live before them. Pray for them. When you get opportunity, speak a word. But oh, see what a privilege it is for them. But not only that, not only did you have the privilege of a praying friend. What a friend you had praying for her. Who was the friend that was praying for her? Abraham himself. Imagine having Abraham praying for you. Mary had been before the Lord. As the Lord said that he was going to judge this place. And Abraham is praying, and as he comes down and down and eventually gets to 10, there's no shadow of doubt that he's thinking to himself, well, Lot is there. Surely, 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 within Lot's family, perhaps there are those who will be rescued and delivered. And now is Abraham praying and pleading before the Lord, although he acknowledges that the judge of all the earth shall do right, Lord. Lord, if you do consume the city, I know that it will be right. Because you cannot do anything other than that which is right. But yet here's somebody with a saved husband, a praying friend. Do you have folks that pray for you? I remember one night there was a young man walked out of that door and he shook his hand and said to him as he was going out, I held tight to his hand and I said to him, name him by name, I said to him, I pray for you constantly. I still do. And he just sort of smirked up and said, very good. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you should thank God that there's people who pray for you. And oh, to have one praying for us, how precious that is. Oh, those who are saved, I want you to remember this. Do not give up praying. Even though you've prayed for years and years and years, keep praying, keep praying, keep praying on. Even though perhaps the prayers will be rejected. Those who you're praying for will not want to know. But keep praying on. The saved husband, a praying friend, clear warnings. There was no mistaking it. The warnings had come right into her very house. And the warning was ringing in their ears. Judgment is coming. Fire is going to fall. And there's no excuse for her. She knows. She cannot ever say, I was not aware of it. She has been so clearly warned. But listen, this is something that is astonishing. She had an angel's hand. Listen to what it says in verse 16. While he lingered, the man laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto them, and they brought him forth and set him outside the city. Imagine that an angel took hold of her hand to lead her away from that place where judgment was going to fall. I'm going to say something that might sound rather arrogant. But every one of you in this company, regularly an angel takes you by your hand. You see, an angel is just a messenger. And every true preacher of the gospel is an angel. He mightn't look at them, but they're a messenger sent from God with a message for you. And every time you sit here, you hear a message from an angel. And every time you go out the door, you shake the hands with an angel. And if you will stand before Almighty God in that last day of judgment, still unsaved, what a dreadful thing it would be if you have had somebody in your household that was saved. Friends who were praying for you. Clear warnings brought to you. And an angel to take you by the hand, wanting to lead you away from your doom, to lead you to Christ. But listen, these were her privileges, but what was her desire? She was brought out. And it's not, boys and girls, listen, older folks, it's not that she's going away from Sodom and she gives a wee glance over her shoulder. That's not what it means at all. It means she turned back and her eyes were fixed on Sodom because her heart was still in Sodom. She loved the sin that was in Sodom. She wanted to have Sodom rather than God's way. And that was what she chose. And she's turned into that pillar of salt. And Sodom was located in the area that we now know as the Dead Sea. What a low place that is. And it's remarkable that place is still noted for its saltiness. It's a remarkable thing. But I want you to remember this. Not just her privilege. Not just her desire. She desired her sin in Sodom rather than having safety and deliverance and salvation. But her memory. And as Jesus preached to people in his day about judgment that was going to come, he said this, remember Lot's wife. Remember how she refused the way of escape and deliverance and the judgment that fell upon her. Remember Lot's wife. So of a doomed city, we have a pleading father, we have a hardened woman, but we have a gracious God. Because there's one man, a flawed man, but yet he's able to say in verse 19, behold now thy servant has found grace in thy sight. Do you remember what that is an echo of? Do you remember a few weeks ago, those who have been here regularly, and were thinking about Noah? But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Grace is undeserved favour. Grace is undeserved. Undeserved, unmerited. And this is what it was for Noah. And he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And he was a man who was righteous and just, as Peter tells us there in 2 Peter. And he tells us it clearly, categorically. And it says that the Lord turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overflow, making an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation, lifestyle of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with the unlawful deeds. And God delivered Lot from the judgment that was to come because he had righteousness. He was just, and that wasn't something that manufactured by himself. He was righteous by faith. Because that's the only way we can attain to righteousness and have righteousness. We just believe what God has said about the Redeemer that he provides, and our trust and faith in him alone. And he becomes our salvation and our righteousness. We are declared just because of that in the sight of God. And God was merciful. He was gracious to Noah. Thank God that God is still that gracious God. And even though we may be flawed, failed, yet if our faith is in Christ, then we have that righteousness made over when the last day will come. We will be preserved, kept safe from the wrath that is to come. But utilize within this deliverance, this is the final word, I want you to notice this. It says in verse 29 of Genesis 19, a portion we didn't read. It came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overflow. And he did hear Abraham's prayer. And he knew what Abraham's heart was. He wanted Lot to be delivered. And God utilized the prayers of Abraham even in this. And he heard those prayers and he did deliver Lot. You know what it says there in the Psalms 37? Delight thyself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Keep praying on, keep praying on, keep praying on. Delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. And oh, he may yet answer your prayers in a way that is beyond your expectation. And there will be those who will be saved from the wrath to come. Those that you've prayed for. Will you remember this? Four simple points. A doomed city. A pleading father. A hardened woman. But a gracious God. Praise God for his grace in the midst of such dreadful sin.